next, the last day of August 2012. It's August 30th, 2012. Time again for Amos News with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. We are live. You know, earlier this year, we started this journey of going places that we've never gone before when we went out to Greenbrier Elementary out in the Washington Township school system. Then the superintendent at Wayne Township decided to send a note to me on Twitter saying, "What's wrong with us?" And so we went out to Ben Davis University High School out in Wayne Township. And then a couple of weeks ago, for the first time ever, our program went out to Perry Township. We were almost to Greenwood, Lord, Lord, Lord. And we were out at Winchester Village Elementary School out in beautiful Perry Township. Now we have arrived on the northeast side. First ever broadcast from Lawrence Township. We're almost the Fishers, kind of, sort of. We are out here in the Lawrence Township schools at, no, we're not at Lawrence Central. No, we're not at Lawrence Township. No, Lawrence North. We are at the better one. We are at the McKenzie Center for Innovation and Technology, and a special broadcast, special edition of Afternoons with Amos for this Thursday before the Labor Day holiday coming up on the program. There are a lot of things going on in the Lawrence Township school systems. We'll talk about education. We'll talk about what they are doing. They're talking about some issues in Lawrence Township that other school systems should be talking about and aren't talking about. Like, how do you reduce the achievement gap? In other words, so that African Americans are scoring just as well on all these standardized tests as other students. What are they doing to provide education, not just history, not just Algebra 1, not just that stuff, but knowledge that young men and women can really use if they want to go to college and get a doctorate, or if they want to go and fix computers, or if they want to be a better person in medicine than Hawthorne on TNT, if they want to do all of those things, how do you do that? Lawrence Township has also been very honest in admitting their shortcomings, admitting areas of where they need to improve. There was a presentation the other week. I don't know whether they did the presentation at the board meeting because they knew we were coming out here on Thursday, or whether it's part of their effort to try to eliminate these disparities. But they were very honest about some high rate of suspensions of African-American males. We'll talk about that. So coming up on the program, we'll hear from the associate superintendent of the Lawrence Township Schools. We'll hear from one of the principals of one of the Lawrence Township elementary schools where our kids and all kids do well on I-STEP. And we'll find out how come they do well there, and if they do well there, how come they can't do well at all the other schools in Lawrence Township. We'll talk about opportunities for minorities, African Americans, to be hired as teachers and staff out here in Lawrence Township. We'll talk with the superintendent of the Lawrence Township School District, Dr. Conchetta Ray Mundy, along with the board president of the school board, Carol Helmus, and then together, they're rarely together, and on the foot, and they must not be playing football this week. But the principals of Lawrence Central and Lawrence North will be here. All that and a lot more on the program, and plenty of time for your phone calls at 239-1310, 239-1310, or you can send us an email at praiseindy.com. Well, no, don't send the send the email at praiseindy.com. We'll try to figure out on my little smartphone, though I'm in a room with enough computers to staff Best Buy. So if I can't get it on my smartphone, we'll figure out how to get it on the mainframe, or send me a text message at 85620, keyword Amos, 85620, keyword Amos. And places like McKenzie has been here or have been a part of the Lawrence Township school family for a number of years, and the kind of education and opportunities they provide has become one of the things that candidates for governor in this governor's race has talked about. Mike Pence, as you well know, uses the term vocational education. A lot of people listening use the term vocational education, but the educators talk about career opportunities. But here at McKenzie, there are high school students roaming the building right now in class, taking classes that not only count as electives for your Core 40, not your general diploma, not your GED, but your Core 40 diploma, and also dual credit with colleges and universities. Barry Norman is the principal at the McKenzie Center for Innovation and Technology. First of all, we're glad to be here. Well, welcome.
Thank you for being here, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What is McKenzie?
McKenzie is a place where students want to come and where they learn. We are about various careers. We have a pre-engineering program. We have biomed. We have computer repair, networking. We have nursing. We have some traditional programs like auto service, collision repair. We have a culinary arts program where students come in and learn all they can learn here, and then they go out and they have the opportunity to go to schools to become chefs. So we have a great, great opportunity for kids.
Now, this is open to any high school student at Lawrence Central, Lawrence North?
Yes. Most of the programs we have, the students apply for, and basically the basic application is, are you interested in that area? We have found that if the student is interested in that area, they're going to do better. They're going to go after that certification, that dual credit. They're going to learn. And by learning, that makes us all better.
For those high school students that are on a college track, that want to get into college, are taking courses over here at McKenzie, does that hold them back? Does that cause a college admission officer to say, what are you doing in auto tech? That doesn't mean like you're serious at going to IU, or does it enhance that application to college?
In our opinion, it enhances, because our key ingredient to education is hands-on, project-based. Not only are you getting lectures, but you're actually getting to do. You're getting to see from both aspects, the intellectual and the work world, what is happening. So as we talk about college, many of those classes are turning to the project method of instruction. So our students are leaving here with dual credit, or they're leaving here with the knowledge, and the schools are saying, hey, look, these kids already know what this is all about.
Does having McKenzie here and these kind of course offerings, does this help turn on a kid that's bored in that traditional high school classroom setting? They might be a struggling D student or a struggling C-minus student, and does the knowledge that these courses are here start to ring a bell with that student, and they come over here and maybe take a course, and all of a sudden they start to get it? That's what turns them on to learning?
May I use an example?
Okay.
Several years ago, probably 15 years ago, we had a student to come to McKenzie who enrolled in our A-plus program.
What's an A-plus program?
A-plus is computer repair, and they learn how to take computers apart, put them back together, and repair them. The young man was told in the 7th or 8th grade that he would never graduate from high school. He would never be a contributing factor to society. He came to our program, he hit into A+, he just fell in love with it, he got to see what he was constructing, and when he got through, he finished. He, as far as we know, built the first water-cooled computer by a student in the state of Indiana, just like a car with a radiator. We called a company and asked them, hey, we don't know whether this is an aha moment or not, but we think it is. Would you come over and take a look at it? They came over, took a look at it. I know they sat for 2 hours watching a video, because most computers create heat, and that puts a glitch in a video. They watched for 2 hours and not one glitch. When they left, they said that the kid had put the computer together better than their engineers back at their base of operation. So, you know, that's a long way of saying, yes, the kids connect. They like it here. We have a small environment. We have no more than 600 kids here at any one time, but our total enrollment is almost 2,000 because the kids travel between Lawrence Central and Lawrence North. We run a shuttle between every block. Some of our students are here one period a day or one block a day. Some are here two blocks, some three. We have probably a dozen students that never go to their home high school. They just stay here at McKenzie, because we also offer several levels of math and several levels of English so that they can get their academics here being taught in the project method, just like our career classes.
Teaching the basic academics in this project method more hands-on, does that help a kid that is maybe is struggling in the traditional classroom at LN or LC?
We think so. Like when I was in school in geometry, they always would show us in the book a picture of one side of a roof, and we were supposed to find the square footage of that roof to put on the roofing material. Well, we actually take them to see a roof, measure it themselves, and then they get a lesson in learning, what if we don't buy enough, we can't get the color to match, or if we buy too much, we can't return that. So they get to learn just what they would learn in the construction industry in our math class.
239-1310, 239-1310, Sassy News Names. Now, they tell me Frank Schwarzkopf, Same name as the general guy, but he's kind of like the general over here. They say he's the assistant. That means he does all of the work. How critical is this when we're talking about what's called project-based learning, which is like learn by doing, hands-on? Does this also become a laboratory to perhaps teach teachers, not the teachers at McKinsey, but the other teachers in the Lawrence Township system, that maybe there are some to borrow some of those hands-on techniques to use in their traditional classrooms? Oh, that's period time. If you hear the little beeps going on, that means kids will start roaming the hallways. But in terms of helping teachers teach their traditional classes better?
Oh, absolutely. That's been a push of Dr. Raimondi. She has sent several teachers over here to see how McKinsey teachers are doing it. And it's fascinating to see the engagement of the students here because of the project work.
Is this something that when we have these big, grand discussions in this community about how to improve education reform, and we're always talking about process and systems, we're never talking about coming up with ideas that turn kids on. As we have these discussions of how to make education better, should that be part of the priority? What can we do to make courses and learning more appealing to kids?
Oh, absolutely. The things need to be relative. They need to be able to connect. And our advisory committees that we have with each one of these programs keeps us connected with what the kids actually need to learn in each of these programs. And our robotics program is a great connection and a great way for students to apply the knowledge that they're getting in the classroom and for them to say, why do I need this math? You can walk them right down to the robotics program and they can see math being applied.
Wait a minute, y'all making robots over here?
Yes, we are. We make little ones, we make big ones.
You got a robot? Wait a minute, you got a robot that can replace him, to replace the principal?
No, but they do some pretty involved tasks, and we compete nationally with that team.
Wait, y'all getting A's and blue ribbons and stuff?
Oh, yes. We've won a national championship and several other regional championships, and we travel all over the country.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon, his name is, we are live at the McKenzie Center for Innovation and Technology. We're out in the Lawrence Township Schools. 239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon, his name is, before I go to the callers, because they're already lined up on the phones like they're lined up on 465 if it's a bad accident, I want to talk to some students that are here. Hakeen Townsend is a senior, class of 13 at Lawrence Central. But he wants to fix computers, repair computers. He wants to be a chief information officer, and they get big bucks. They get almost as much as a chief operating officer and a CEO of a corporation. Hakeen, first of all, welcome. What about this place appeals to you?
I think the number one thing that probably appeals to me is just that the teachers are more, what it seems like, caring about their students. Not to say that the teachers at the homeschools aren't, but he was saying that some of these teachers actually kind of put real-life situations, in terms of what they're trying to teach. Like my Algebra 2 teacher, she actually gave us an example of, credit and all that stuff in terms of, like, the equations that we would be doing and why would we need to learn this and that and, things of that nature. But I think one of the most also founding things is that they also teach things that are, absolutely, interesting to the students. If you want to be a chef, you'd learn, culinary arts if you're interested in food and things like that nature.
Does that, with all these kids that are going over here to McKinsey, there's no stigma when you go back to LC of, Keem has to take some classes over at McKinsey. There's no stigma to this place? Because you know how young people are.
I don't think there's any, stigma, whatsoever, just because people realize that there are certain things that you can learn, probably out of college or, things like that. And then there's things that, they teach at McKinsey, like they say, trade skills. And, that's what they want to, allow students to learn and apply here.
So now have you opened up the back of a computer and tried to fix it?
Probably about 20 to 30, I'd say, maybe even more.
Are they better once you fix them?
Hopefully so. I can actually say that I've worked on computers for certain companies, and I've also worked on, a lot of family, friends' computers.
Does that make you the hero of your family?
Sometimes. if I actually get it right, which there hasn't been a computer to date yet that I've had some feedback that says, this is, still messed up or whatever.
tell them, you tell them, see if the Geek Squad can do any better. I think you can do better than the Geek Squad. Ashley Stowe is a junior class of 14 from Lawrence Central, and she's over here. She's taking a course in medical intervention. That sounds like when on one of those hospital shows, all of a sudden the people start running around saying, code blue, code blue. Is this the code blue class you're in?
We're getting to that point. Next class, first year, you can take like a nursing class, and I'm probably going to do that because I'm going to be a pediatrician, and that makes me more involved with like, I want to be on grow up. It's like a really great class to like make sure you want to be medical. I really enjoy it, so.
Is taking a class like that, which is not what people listening would think would be taught in a high school, how does that motivate you to be a better student, a better person, and move you towards your dream, your goal?
It motivates me a lot because knowing that I can do this in high school, seeing that I can do it when I grow up and get older. So I have more feedback and background when I get to college and be a more, like, easier way to get through college.
Now, the courses you all taking, is it just regular Lawrence Township credit, or are you getting the extra dual credit? Where's your dual credit going to be?
For A+, I believe they give a dual credit towards Vincent University and also Ivy Tech, and those are transferable to any state or any state college.
So do you know where you're going to go to college? Are you going to be able to use those credits?
Oh, most definitely. I want to either go to Purdue or IUPUI and major in those, major in that specific field of study, computer repair, information science.
So with those credits that you get here at McKinsey, you already have saved some money.
Yes, actually tons of money, as my computer repair teaches it, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, you know, get on my mom's paycheck.
And the course you're taking, Ashley, will that have a dual credit?
Yes, I can go to IU and get a dual credit, IUPUI and Ivy Tech, and I can transfer to different schools wherever I want to go. I want to go to IU Medical, and I want to go to Northwestern in Chicago, so.
Now, see, if you're smart, I went to Northwestern when it was cheap. Roosevelt was president then, and that's now it costs as much as, I don't even want to think about it. Let's put it this way: if you had the money for Northwestern, the board president would take the dollars because it would cut down the deficit out here at Lawrence Township. When we have all these great education debates that us adults have? In talking about, one of the things we always talk about is everybody keeps talking college, 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 but sometimes what a young person wants to do with their life, you don't necessarily need 4 years of college. You need the kinds of opportunities that you get here at McKinsey. Agree or disagree?
I agree, because if you know what you're doing in high school and you're mature for college and you get all the learning advantage that you can get here, then I really appreciate everything they did for me here.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's afternoon's name is Let Me Start. I got to figure out, if you're going to do computers, figure out why so my smartphone doesn't, turn off after 5 minutes. 239-1310. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Yes, Mr. Amos. Nice
yes.
to talk to you. I feel that you're doing a marvelous job. I'm calling in pertaining to one picture about the bus drivers. The part I wonder why they can't have a union there. And the next question I have is, why can't they have monitors on all the buses? If they got police walking the hall and dogs walking the hall, why can't they have monitors on all the buses?
Are you talking specifically about Lawrence Township?
No, yeah, I'm talking about Warren Township.
Lawrence Township. I'm sorry. You're talking specifically about Lawrence? Why they can't have bus monitors on the bus?
Yes.
All right. Does anybody have? I got a couple principals and administrators. Now this is your test here. Is there a reason why? I'm going to kind of go over here and kind of introduce Dr. Jan Combs, Associate Superintendent. First of all, welcome. Are there monitors on all the buses, or is that something that Lawrence Township doesn't have on every school bus?
We don't have them on every school bus. We do have them on some buses where there's been demonstrated need. We do have cameras, though, on every bus as well. Part of the reason we don't put them on every bus is the cost factor. I think everyone's heard about the desperate straits of transportation in every district, and it's a tremendous cost, and simply it can't be afforded right now.
And if my understanding right, Lawrence Township had to deal with a multi-million dollar, a seven-figure deficit. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. So, but there's cameras there.
There are cameras on all the buses.
And usually that camera can see all the way from the front to the back.
That's correct.
Appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after news. Let me go back to the phones. And William, hi there.
Yeah, hi, Amos.
Hi.
I wanted to talk to one of the principals, but that's okay. But
well, they're still here.
Oh, okay then. I got a grandson that's enrolled in LC from Belza. And we registered him in the second day that he was at Law Central. They changed his register. His classes, he wanted to take Spanish, but they won't let him take Spanish because they were said, I was told by Miss Jordan that by law, they have to go by what Belzer, from his, enrollment there, they go by that. And I was questioning them about it. We had a meeting.
Wait, hold it. Did he ever take Spanish at Belzer?
No, they wouldn't let him, for some reason or other. I mean, I don't know why, but
Hold it. He never took Spanish at Belzer, correct?
That's right.
And so he goes over to LC. He's a freshman, correct?
That's right.
And he wanted to take Spanish as an elective, right?
That's right.
And they said he couldn't because of what?
Because of Belzer's program that they, he's a special ed student.
That doesn't mean anything.
That's what I would try to tell them, Amos. But they would say she was telling me by law that's what they have to go by. They have to go by, and I questioned that. Why did Belzer have such an influence on LC? Why couldn't he couldn't take it there? So, well, they say,
now this happened this year.
Yeah, that's it. Yes, sir.
Just a few weeks ago, correct?
That's right.
All right, here's what I want you, William, to do two things for me.
Yes, sir.
Thing number one, when I'm through with you, I want you to hold on, and I want you to give Woody your name and a number where you can be reached during the day.
Yes, sir.
The second thing, you said this young man is on special ed, correct?
That's right.
That means he's on an individual education plan, an IEP. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. The parents and you need to call a case conference with the school immediately. And in the case conference, you want to bring this up. And if it is the decision of the parents and the school that Spanish would help him, they can build that into the IEP.
Well, we had a conference, Amos, and I'm telling you now, Miss Jordan, she's I don't know who she really is up at LC, but she conducted that at that meeting that we had, and so she said after the first semester, if everything goes well, then she will, she'll go ahead and let him do it. But other than that, she wasn't going to do it. But I was thinking about doing something else in the meantime. If I have to just withdraw him from that school, and because I didn't see why Belzer had such a strong influence on his education, and that he couldn't take Spanish. That's the only thing.
Well, let me put it this way. I got a whole bunch of administrators in the room that are shaking their head and going, "What?" So I tell you what, William, you hold on. Give Woody your name and a number where you can reach during the day, and we'll transmit that information to the folks here at Lawrence, and we will get an answer.
Yes, sir.
For somebody to tell you it's law, that is a no-no. And if they're listening over at Belzer, because I'm sure every school in Lawrence Township is listening, if you're listening over at Belzer, don't say law unless you're prepared to get the thing out of the textbook. 239-1310. 239-1310 this afternoon with Amos. We'll take a break. We thank the folks from McKenzie. We'll let these outstanding two young students go back to class, even though they're having more fun out here. Because they knew when they were here at Williams' problem, they're going, that ain't right. So you guys got some sharp students out here at McKenzie. It's afternoons with Amos. We're live from Lawrence Township after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoons with Amos. Folks here at Lawrence Township in the school district, they have something called the Equity Initiative, and they made a presentation at the board meeting on Monday, and they used a quote from Marion Wright Edelman that said, "A lot of people are waiting for Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi to come back, but they are gone. We are it. It is up to us. It is up to you." They are trying to come up with strategies to reduce the achievement gap so that when all they take all these standardized tests, African Americans, white, Hispanic, Asians all kind of score at roughly the same rate. One of the schools where that occurs with African American students is Sunnyside Elementary School, where according to this past year's ISTEP, 79% of the African-American students passed English language arts, 78.9% passed math. That's higher than the statewide average. And if I just broke that out separately, they'd be up there with Charles Tinley, the suburban schools, Crystal House Academy, and all these charters and stuff. And the principal of that is Sister Erica Buchanan. She's in the house. Because this is picture radio, so I just got, you know, put a little color in all of these things. Also leading the charge in closing the achievement gap is the associate superintendent of the Lawrence Township Schools, Dr. Jan Combs. Ladies, welcome. Dr. Combs, in looking at some of this data that you all presented to the board meeting on Monday, I was struck by a couple of things. One, among your high school students in Algebra 1, which is rough. I've looked at Algebra 1. I don't understand it. I didn't understand algebra when I was 80, you know, many years ago, and I definitely don't understand it now. But there, you have no achievement gap. It's only a 7-point difference between whites and blacks, and they're all in the high 80s, right at 90%. Yet in English, there's that traditional large gap. One, how do you explain what's going on in algebra at LC and LN, and how do you take those lessons from algebra and apply them across the rest of the system?
Well, that's been a long journey for us. We've been working with the algebra for 3 or 4 years, and it involves Belzer Middle School, Fall Creek Valley, because they have students who take algebra, as well as LC and LN. And we brought the teachers together, and we got a tight curriculum, we got common assessments, and we've worked very hard to make sure that what the work that they're doing will close that gap, and it's been successful. We've started the same thing with English 10. They're just not as far along in the journey. If you look at English 10, the gap is beginning to close. But we still have a long way to go till we reach the algebra level.
Let me ask you on the new test that everybody was saddled with this past school year, and that's iRead. What kind of achievement gaps did you see there? How did Lawrence attack that, or how are you going to attack that when iRead comes back up next March?
Well, we're attacking it right now with some very specific strategies in each building where we're looking at students doing progress monitoring, checking them every 2 weeks, and getting just-in-time instruction to those students who are struggling. We did have our racial achievement gap with the iRead scores that's been similar to the other gaps that we've seen across the elementaries. So we expect that the strategies we're putting in place, we've got data interventionists there to identify specific strategies to help kids who are struggling.
In terms of young people that are on individual education plans, that are special ed, all of that deals with the achievement gap. How do you make sure that those students that are on the IEP, that those plans are designed to help reduce that achievement gap?
Well, that's part of that whole IEP process. But for all of our students, it's a culture of high expectations. If we don't expect that every student can pass and we aren't committed to whatever percentage isn't passing, then we'll never close that gap. And that's been a lot of the conversation we've had in this district and a lot of the work that we've done that says every child has to be successful. It's not good enough to say 80% or 90% because until we're to every child, we've failed.
How important is it to engage parents and to listen to parents in this process?
I believe it's critical, and you've got Erica here, that, and she can speak to the strategies that she's done in her school. That is so important. And one of the things that we did is we scheduled a Saturday program for kids last year, and we asked parents to bring them in, and we spoke with parents, and they were so eager to know how they could help their children. You know, so often we underestimate, I think, the family's commitment and what they're willing to do, and we don't take the time necessary to really engage them in that conversation.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon with Amos. So now how did you get it in your building where it looks like most of your kids kind of scored all at the same level, which was a great level? Not I know you want 90 to 100%, but high 70 is pushing 80. That ain't bad.
Not bad at all, but still a long ways to go. And As a new principal, this is actually my second year, I believe that a leader has to set the tone and the vision within the building. And my amazing and talented teachers definitely bought into our vision, making sure that, number one, we are building relationships with our families. We are taking the time to get to know them, to get to know the needs of our community, and we're able to address that collectively as a staff. Additionally, we want to make sure that we are all a true professional learning community throughout the building. So we are having those conversations about students, about our data at all times, and making sure that, most importantly, we're intentional about those conversations. We want for our families to be aware of the progress of students at all times. Do not wait a week or a day. You know, if there's a deficit, we want to address it immediately. Most importantly as well, we want for parents as well as students to be a part of that process and to own the data. They have to be able to convey where they are within their learning. I should be able to walk into any classroom and ask a child, what is your reading level? And they should be able to express that, and that's what intentionality is all about.
Parents and grandparents get that. Do they understand the importance of evaluating the data? Because, you know, in today's education, you're asking parents and grandparents to do something that they didn't have to do as students and that their parents and grandparents didn't have to, because the only data was, okay, you got a report card four times a year and all it had was some letters and some gibberish on it and that was it. I mean, you really didn't have all of this data and feedback that educators have today.
You're right. And finding out from last year, entering into classrooms and asking students to report back their ISTEP scores, there were many students who were not aware if they even passed or failed. And knowing that, as a leader, I wanted to make sure that not only the students knew, but the families knew. And so the teachers and I collectively came together and we devised ISTEP nights. And we went over the data and we desegregated it by race for families to actually see the breakdown within the district and within our building. And then teachers, which was really powerful, had a voice and helped families to understand what they need to continue that partnership as far as developing student growth. And so, therefore, we're very explicit with our families. We call it data in your face, and we want to make sure that families are aware that they can come to us if they have any questions. And, again, it's all about intentionality, and that's how we were able to do that at Sunnyside.
239-1310, 239-1310, South News. Name us to the phones, and Bob, hi there.
Hey, Amos.
Hi.
I'm calling for two things. One, I'd like to give the McKenzie Career Center. I had my niece to graduate from there with a 3.8 average. She was in computers, and she had she got her certificate from for nursing when she came out. Also, we were talking about monitors. I have a handicap. And there's monitors on the bus with the handicap. Also, they are constantly training monitors and drivers how to handle the kids in the different buses. And along with the good, the only problem that I've had with the Lawrence Township system is the busing system seems to change on me with my other kids every year from one place to another. But overall, all of my kids, my third grader passed, I read, I've gotten all the ISTEP tests back, all in the I+, in the plus scenario, higher than their grade was, and I think they did a good job, Amos. And I'm gonna hang up and let you talk.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So we go back to the phones. And Monica, hi there. Monica?
Yes.
You're on the air. What's up?
Oh, I have a lot to say. I'm not going to say that the Lawrence Township is totally bad, but I have a son that is on IP. They broke the rules and changed his curriculum without me even being aware. I know that you are supposed to talk to the parent and, go over things with the parent before you change anything. When the other caller called earlier and was saying, you were saying that they were all looking at each other and shaking their heads, that's what they do. I don't know if I'm pretty sure you have heard of the saying, birds of a feather flock together. And they, even if you have some that don't communicate with each other, they stick together. I will give you my phone number personally so that we can talk more about the things that I have experienced. It has been all bad for my son. He is in the 11th, and he's on basically a kindergarten level. I mean, I hate to even go there and put things out like that. I never get anything from ISTEP or ISTAR saying anything about my son. He does
Monica, let me ask a couple questions. What grade is he in?
He's in 10th. Well, they put on his IP, it says 10th, but they passed him off to the 11th.
Okay, so he's at Lawrence Central or Lawrence North?
He goes to Lawrence North.
He goes to Lawrence North, and he's under an IEP. Is he on a track to get a general diploma or a Core 40 diploma?
He's supposed to do the ISTAR where he doesn't do ISTEP, he does ISTAR, and he's non-diploma track, yes.
He's non-diploma track.
He's been put out more than he's in school. So they, and like I said, my son, he has gone through things, but I've had a kid come to me and personally tell me that a staff member there, it was a police officer, said that he hates my son. And I've heard that from a lot of people that they show favoritism. They pick on certain kids, and the ones that are doing good, that might be the ones that live up on the house on the hill. I'm not trying to be funny, but I've been a part of Lawrence Township for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all good. There are some people there that are good. I do know some personal principals, and, you know, Cindy Davis being one of them, Patrick Horan, he was Miss Benjamin, she was one of the special education teachers, and she helped my son tremendously. But this time, just now, they changed. It's been a lot. It's a lot going on, and it's swept under the rug so that no one will know about it. I've reached out to those people, and like I said, I can give you my phone number personally, and I have information, documents, and all kinds of things. You know, my son is going through a rough time right now, but I still feel like his education is important to him, you know, to me, to him, the way that I look at it. He just might end up another statistic just because you don't see that anyone really.
Monica, I kind of got it. Well, I want you to hold on and off the air. I want you to give Woody, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me, I want you to give him your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. And I'll follow up with you, okay?
Thank you.
All right, let me go to Rosetta at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, good afternoon, Amos. I am calling. I am the parent of a fourth grader at Brook Park Elementary.
Okay.
In Lawrence Township, and my daughter was sent home with a homework assignment that is actually a binding contract that she's supposed to sign. And the contract says that she agrees that she'll meet class expectations in the absence of her regular teacher if she has a substitute. It says that she will assist the class to get 5 Rubik's, that she will exceed the expectations of the substitute teacher, and that she knows the consequences of not meeting the teacher's expectations.
Okay.
And with this contract, number one, the parents were not notified of this contract, and in the contract it does say that it is a binding contract. I want to know, number one,
when did your daughter bring this home?
Day before yesterday. Today's Thursday, so it'd be Tuesday night.
Okay. Have you been up to the school yet?
I have not. I work during the day.
You can't sneak off of work for 20 to 30 minutes?
No, I work downtown, and since my daughter's in Lawrence Township, I would actually have to schedule that because I work for IU Health. I did
Don't let me call Mr. Evans at IU Health and say, I saw him. In fact, I saw him this morning outside a restaurant. If I'd have known that, I'd have said, what do you mean, Dan Evans, you don't let your employees off for 20 minutes to go see about their kids?
Well, no, not without PTO, sir. But I did send a note to the teacher, and I haven't got a response yet. But
You sent it hand note or an email?
A handwritten note along with an attachment to the contract.
Okay, all right. Wait, all right. I bet you're sitting there at IU Health with access to a computer, correct?
Yes.
All right. Do you have the teacher's email address?
I don't. I could probably look it up on the website, but.
Go. All right. Here's what I want you to do in the presence of the superintendent and a whole lot of other people.
Uh-huh.
If you would, one, send an email to that teacher today.
Uh-huh.
you said
just
today.
Follow up on, just say the same things you said in the note. One.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, copy the principle. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then copy the superintendent.
All right.
She'll know about this because she's sitting here listening to us right now.
All right.
What school is this?
Brook Park Elementary.
This is Brook Park. She's already made a note about Brook Park.
Because mm-hmm.
the first step is you got to bring it to the teacher's attention. You got to let the principal know. But the sooner you can get to eyeball the teacher and eyeball the principal. And I have been a bear about trying to make the Chamber of Commerce and the business community understand that they ought to be able to give a parent time to take off of work and see about their kid, and in return, the school give them a note and say, yes, you were here seeing about your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if IU Health won't do that, trust me, I will call Dan Evans. You know who he is.
I do.
Yeah, and bless him out.
Okay? Oh, Lord, I need my job, Amos.
But, no, I understand that. I want you to keep your job. But more importantly, email that teacher. Emails work faster than handwritten notes today. They really do.
Okay? Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you. 239-1310.
Thank you very much.
239-1310. It's afternoon, Zayas, but it sounds like associate superintendent. This was like an expectation thing in a classroom so that students didn't, slack off with a substitute, but they should have let the parents know this was coming.
I would think so. And it's hard to speak to something when I really don't have any background knowledge on it, but my guess from what I heard on the radio just now is that the teacher was trying to set a high expectation for behavior while she was out.
239-1310, 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones before I take a break. And is it L. Reed? And this is a problem with bullying. Did I get your name right?
Hi, Reed.
Yes, what's up?
I'm glad the superintendent came in. I wanted to find out how their bully policy actually works. I've had several issues with my son being bullied there, and I've taken all the steps from the principal, the assistant principal, the student services of Lawrence Township, and I haven't gotten no results. So I really want to hear from her how their policy works and if they really implement it, because I refuse to believe they do. I think it's a joke. And having children, the bully sign a bully contract to say that they won't bully the victim anymore does not really work. I'm talking specifically about Harrison Hill Elementary, who has a new principal and a new assistant principal this year. I just want to know what her thoughts is about that, because I have several complaints and it's been documented and I have not gotten anywhere.
When was the last complaint?
The last complaint was last week.
And you sent an email. Did you speak with the principal face to face?
Absolutely.
And what was the disposition? He played it off?
She claimed she did an investigation and that it didn't happen, but I know it did, because the bullies, it originally started last year, and it's the same kids.
The same bullies?
Absolutely.
I can send
you a copy of the email, because I'm pretty sure I've already sent it.
All right, well, send me that copy. But now the superintendent heard all of that. She's taking notes of that
as
well.
Yeah, I would like for her, if she had time, to actually give me a call. I'd like to speak with her directly about it.
We may work on that, because I want to ask you to hold on, and when we're done, if you give Woody your name and a number where you can be reached during the day. But Superintendent Remendi, first of all, we're glad to be here. What is the bullying policy?
Our bullying policy is very, very clear that when teachers, principals are made aware that children are being bullied, if, for example, they don't even see it firsthand, generally a bully tries to be very covert in their behaviors. And so once it's brought to any employees' attention, we have a process that we follow. We have to investigate and see what were the actions by the child that was supposedly bullying, and we try to get other eyewitness accounts. I mean, this is a process, and we investigate thoroughly. Ultimately, if we found there's foundation for this, the other family is brought in, we discuss their child's behavior and let them understand it will not be tolerated and their child could have serious consequences. We want our children to come to school and be in a safe, secure environment where they can focus on their learning and not with somebody picking on them.
If a parent feels that the school has not been responsible and they've had that eyeball-to-eyeball with the principal, does it then move up to dock over here? Does it then move up? What's the chain of command?
Absolutely. We have a wonderful director of student services, Tamora Golder,
And Mrs. Golder would be the person that would do another investigation. And so it just doesn't stop. If a parent doesn't feel comfortable with the results of an investigation, they can always bring it to the attention of a central office administrator. And from there, there are still other steps. We allow parents to be as persistent as they wish in these matters, because we too want the same thing. We want her child and every child to come to school and be safe.
All right. Caller, you still there? I think we lost her. 239-13, but we got her number.
I'm still here.
All right. You heard Tamara Golder. You heard the name?
Yes, I've talked to her on several occasions.
Now move from talk to the email.
Yes, I've done that too.
You've done that too?
Absolutely.
When was the last time you did on this last incident?
I contacted her first, and that's how I got to this new principal who's there now.
Now you've got the principal. Now go back to her in writing. Send me a copy.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We've got HR is in the house. They're just sitting back. Superintendent is still here. Other folk are still here. We're live from the McKenzie Center. This may be the number one program in all of Lawrence Township today. You know, they turned off the soap operas. They've turned off Judge This and Judge That. They're probably getting ready to turn off Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. But we're talking about education. We're live in Lawrence Township at the McKenzie Center. It's Afternews with Amos after these.